You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now, check out all the good stuff there we have. Again, good offseason breakdowns, the fallout of the NFL draft, all that you can track, who else is out there in free agency, things to catch up with in this offseason. Speaking of the offseason, that's what we're focused on now, that we have a bigger picture with free agency and the draft. We're looking at one player from each team that benefited most from the developments, whether it was a player acquisition, player lacking acquisition, or a coaching change or scheme change or something that they can help them positively. We'll focus on the negative and the adverse guys, the fallers there on the AFC teams and the NFC teams. That's how we'll open next week. But we got to close with the NFC risers here. So we'll have fun with this. We'll get to one player on every team that stands out here based on the offseason results. So we'll do this as we did with the AFC in our traditional all-conference style. We'll go east to west by alphabetical order. So start with the Cowboys and end with the Seahawks. So two nice teams as our book ends. Before we dive into that, I do have to tell you about Peacock and Williamson, NFL analyst and Brian Peacock, and former NFL scout Matt Williamson, host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight in every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, this podcast is going to continue here on the Locked On Network, Locked On Fantasy Football. Let's look at the Dallas Cowboys, and the guy that I'm looking at is Blake Jarwin, the tight end. They were talking up Blake Jarwin a little bit last year before he blew out his knee. Then they went to Dalton Schultz and Andy Dalton, mainly a quarterback. There are a lot of mouths to feed for Dak Prescott. There's no doubt about it. Between Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. But Jarwin, they wanted to incorporate in the offense as a key role. They've liked him for a long time. They've held on to him. Dalton Schultz should be more of a blocker anyway. So I know the Cowboys talked about getting Kyle Pitts and maybe getting a little bit more dynamic at tight end and take their offense over the top, but I think Jarwin can do that. He's a little wiggly. He's a good receiver, pretty skilled. He's had flashes in the past, but maybe he can be a more consistent option here for the Cowboys there. They need to maybe transition away from Michael Gallup because they're not going to be able to afford him after signing Cooper and drafting CeeDee Lamb. They're going to have to use a first-round extension on him at some point as well. So, again, they might need to diversify their offense a little bit. They wanted to use Jarwin more there for Dak Prescott. Remember, it was the Mike McCarthy offense melding with the Kellen Moore offense. So more tight end usage was in the works, but Jarwin simply wasn't available. But the indication of how they used Schultz, and he had some relevance down the stretch there with Dalton, says that Jarwin has an opportunity here, if he can stay healthy, to be somewhat productive for the Cowboys here as a, I would say, an option 3B here with Michael Gallup in the passing game for a prolific, potentially, passing game there with Dak Prescott. Remember, they could easily throw for more than 5,000 yards, and that would give a lot to go around to these receivers and a tight end here in 2021. For the New York Giants, the beneficiary has to be Daniel Jones. I mean, what a big offseason of acquisitions for the Giants, especially a wide receiver. They use a big wad of cash there to bring Kenny Golladay as their number one receiver. A little bit of surprise that he ended up there. They said goodbye to Golden Tate, but they also used a first-rounder in Kadarius Toney. So you have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton. Slayton has a good rapport with Jones. Golladay is just a true number one. Shepard is that reliable guy over the field. Kadarius Toney is an explosive big play waiting to happen. On top of that, you added a second tight end who's capable of catching passes here. Kyle Rudolph, the veteran. So a reliable guy to have with Evan Ingram working in line and sliding out to catch passes. You also have Saquon Barkley returning. That's going to be a big force as well, catching passes out of the backfield. Devontae Booker's not a bad backup either here. Yeah, so it's loaded here with what they have. They also added John Ross at wide receiver. So a lot of big playability their potential on the board here for the Giants. And all that points to Daniel Jones has to come through here this year. There are no more excuses. Everything's lined up here. All the weapons, decent enough pass protection, Barkley coming back. So this is a make or break year for Jones. Again, does he break out in fantasy football or does he fall flat? Right now, the things are looking up here with this offense. And if he can stay healthy, watch out. There are a lot of weapons at his disposal to put up some big numbers. The next guy that I have to look at here is Jalen Hurts, sticking with the quarterback theme. Hurts is a nice runner with the baseline there. The receiving core has improved. He's now with Devonta Smith. There, he's a former top receiver at Alabama. So you get Devonta Smith, Jalen Reagor. Got a bunch of other bodies in there. He had good chemistry with Greg Ward. He returns in the slot here. So pretty good three off the bat here. And then you've kept Zach Ertz. You have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert at tight end. You have Boston Scott returning out of the backfield to catch passes there. You also have Miles Sanders who can catch passes. Hurts running ability here. So good offense, I think, direction as well, that you'll have Nick Sirianni go all in on Hurts, not kind of be wishy-washy with him the way that Doug Peterson was. So good offensive scheme, decent weapons all around. Hurts his own legs, has the checkdowns, has the deep threats, has the intermediate threats. So all kinds of good things developing for Jalen Hurts, just like Daniel Jones. So they're all trying to catch Dak Prescott in this division, try to have that type of offensive success with their quarterbacks, Jones and Hurts, good athletes, mobile production there. Certainly have a lot of passing game weapons as well now that should say, look, you have to produce here if you're Jones or Hurts. I think they're going to have higher expectations than you think in both fronts, especially Jones, the first-round pick. Hurts is going to have the pressure of just holding on to the job and the Eagles not going in a different direction at quarterback in 2022. Finally, our last team we'll get to in the segment before we take our first break is obviously the last team in the division, the Washington football team. The biggest guy that I think should be pleased with the offseason is Antonio Gibson. He was already locked in as a key feature runner here. So you have J.D. McKissic, you've got Peyton Barber, you got Lamar Miller in the mix as well, but they didn't really go after anyone more notable in the backfield. Gibson was already a big playmaker. We saw that Cowboys game, how explosive he can be with scoring as a versatile player. They talked him up first as a change of pace, Christian McCaffrey, wide receiver-like hybrid. Well, what you've seen with Gibson has just become an all-around great running back for Washington, still evolving here. So, again, Gibson, again, great position to produce here. You have veteran quarterback there in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Your offensive line looks a little bit better as well. So that should help the running game, just also a more explosive passing game with some more options there. So it'll open things up there downfield, which should also open up the short intermediate game as well as the running game. So Antonio Gibson looks like he's in for a big year too as an RB2 in fantasy football. All right, so there's a look at four of our NFC teams and guys rising based on the offseason developments here. We still have to get through 12 there, so we'll do six in the final two segments each there for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. I do have to, however, tell you about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online. NFL might be over, but we see a lot of odds and props and things that you can get in on there at Bet Online. So something to bide your time before the season begins, and that'll happen soon enough. And you can be already locked into the action where you have some experience with Bet Online, and you'll be ready for NFL season. And in the meantime, get all the news that you need, odds, info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your updated UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and content information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. They're on the hardwood for hockey. And soon enough, again, NFL season will be here, and you can check out all their win total and all those type of bets there at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online for sportsbook experts. All right, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is also brought to you by Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster. GNC is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT 231231. If you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus Tex now, they'll include a bottle of Eugenics Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. All you have to do, again, text DRAFT to 231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. All right, let us continue with the show, and we'll pick up with our guys to watch here in the NFC North. We'll start with Chicago Bears, and I think it's everyone in this offense that isn't the quarterback, because all of a sudden you have a legitimate quarterback with Justin Fields in there, so all the receivers help, the running backs there, because Justin Fields is a runner. He can complement them in that way, get the ball in all their hands. So I think if I was going to identify one specific player, I would say Cole Kmet, because he's still there. Jimmy Graham is still hanging around. They have a pretty deep receiving core. But Cole Kmet, second-year tight end, usually light goes on. He flashed a little bit. I think Graham will be in a little bit more of a complimentary role. You also have a rookie quarterback probably starting, or an Andy Dalton. Both of them are going to rely on tight ends. We saw that with Dalton, whether it was Cincinnati or Dallas, with Fields. Again, security blanket tight end. He's used to throwing to the tight end at Ohio State and working in the middle of the field. So, again, everyone here in the skill position certainly helped here with the Fields development. And I totally expect Fields to start. That's why I had him high in my rankings. But if it's Dalton in there, again, Dalton can be a little bit more consistent. He'll get the ball in the hands of the playmakers as well. So, good stuff here for the Bears' offensive skill players. But Kmet, I'm looking for a big breakout for him, as they were limited with their receiving upgrades here to help Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. So, you get either a veteran check down quarterback or a rookie security blanket to quarterback, you're in good shape here for Cole Kmet. Let's go to the Detroit Lions. The big beneficiary here was TJ Hockenson, the tight end. I mean, look at this offseason. The Lions lost all their receivers, basically. Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and Danny Amendola in the slot. So now you replaced all of them with Amon Ross. St. Brown is one of your notable addition. You also had Breshad Perriman and Tyra Williams, but no one's looking that interested in those guys. But TJ Hockenson should be a dominant target here. It's also a new quarterback in Jared Goff, so Goff is one to establish things in this offense. Anthony Lynn is their coordinator. He had Hunter Henry there being rather productive for the Chargers when healthy. So lines up pretty well here for Hockenson to be a go-to guy for Jared Goff all over the field. Again, receiving help is very limited here that you can rely on. Perriman and Williams also coming off some injuries here, so you can't trust them to stay healthy. You don't have a lot. Quintus Cephas is your other option with Amon Ross St. Brown. So Hockenson lines up as dominating targets here for the Lions, their first-round tight end from a few years ago. He established himself as a consistent fantasy force as a starter last year. I think he can expand that role and be more important here to the Lions in 2021. Next, we turn to Green Bay, and we'll watch this Aaron Rodgers situation. That's something to monitor, but it was a pretty good offseason for Aaron Jones, because they finally said goodbye to Jamal Williams. They just didn't want to keep another back. Aaron Jones got the tag here. He's back with a lot of money here in the mix to lead the backfield. Also, their top backup now is A.J. Dillon, and he's not much of a receiver. So they did use a pick there late in the draft on Kylan Hill. You also have Dexter Williams hanging around, but these are not real threats to the touches of Jones. A.J. Dillon certainly could pilfer a few touchdowns here and there, but Jones is going to be the main man, getting 20-plus touches per game. That's not a question. He can also finish the red zone. He's also a much better receiver than Dillon here for Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Jones in a good spot to continue his feature-like production here, big time as an RB1 for the Packers all around in 2021. We go to the Minnesota Vikings. Their guy that we're going to look at is Irv Smith. So they didn't really upgrade that third receiver all that much. They did look at it a little bit more, but it's still mainly Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. So you need a third option, still a 12-personnel team trying to help the running game. But now they don't have Kyle Rudolph, and now your tight ends behind him are Tyler Conklin, a developmental guy that's been around and okay reserve. And now their draft pick that they got here. So it's not a lot there. Zach Davidson, he still has to still kind of develop here. So Irv Smith, we know, has a lot of talent, can catch passes, no longer in that pure committee, less mouths to feed overall, potential third option. I mean, I think he's more the fourth option when you include Dalvin Cook catching passes out of the backfield with Thielen and Jefferson. But good situation here for Irv Smith, as the Vikings, again, didn't really upgrade too much a wide receiver, and they lost a tight end. There's some vacated targets and all that. And certainly Kirk Cousins should have more trust in Smith here as a target all over the field through the red zone in 2021. All right, let's go down south to the NFC South. Look at the Atlanta Falcons. You got to say Matt Ryan is a big beneficiary of this offseason for Atlanta. I mean, no quarterbacks drafted there. They did take a flyer and a couple guys. They added Felipe Franks here. So their backup situation, they had to improve here as they cleaned house. But overall, I mean, Matt Ryan is in a good spot here. He's got another weapon now that can help him produce in Kyle Pitts. So you have Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones getting healthy, being a big factor. Still, he wasn't traded. Pitts is going to be a big factor. Mike Davis is a good receiver out of the backfield that they acquired from the Panthers. So some good weaponry. You also have Hayden Hurst. Don't forget about him as a second tight end you can produce here. And some other players that he liked, including Justin Gage there. And Olamide Zaccheaus, he worked the slot a little bit. So good variety of weapons here for Matt Ryan. Again, he's not in danger of losing his job. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder now. No developmental quarterback there for Arthur Smith. So, again, Matt Ryan locked in. He can feel good about it. Has more weapons. Has more comfort level. The offensive line also could be a little bit upgraded here with Jalen Mayfield if he gets on the field here to help the Falcons. So, good situation here for Matt Ryan all around in this new offense with Arthur Smith with the potential to lock him back as a QB1. The last team we'll get to in this segment, the Carolina Panthers. And I think with Carolina, the biggest beneficiary here is Dan Arnold. And he steps in. They didn't really invest too much here with the tight end. They did get Tommy Tremble in the draft, but he might need a little time to see the field. They had Ian Thomas. They were disappointed with him. But Dan Arnold flashed a little bit for the Cardinals. I think they need to use him a little bit more. They are missing a third consistent wide receiver in the slot because Curtis Samuel left here for the Panthers. So they did try to replace him a little bit with Terrace Marshall and Shai Smith in the draft. But yeah, Dan Arnold, intermediate. Sam Darnold does like throwing to his tight ends. Back from New York, we know who they were, and Ryan Griffin and Chris Herndon to some degree. But Arnold is always a sneaky good athlete. He was started with the Saints. The Cardinals had some high hopes for him, but didn't quite factor in the tight ends much. I think you want to see that from Joe Brady. Because, again, they had Thaddeus Moss there with LSU, and he was a big factor there in the red zone for that offense led by Brady when they had Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase making all those big plays as well as Marshall. So I do think this could be an opportunity for Dan Arnold to step in as a sleeper back end tight end one. Greg Olsen, they've been looking for that replacement. I know it's different style of offense, different coaching staff here, but again, Arnold certainly has an opportunity to carve out a key receiving role here, playing off Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore for Sam Darnold, the new starting quarterback for the Panthers. All right, there you have a look at six more teams. We'll wrap up with the last two teams from the NFC South and all four from the NFC West, looking at the rising players, one per team, based on the offseason developments of each team around the NFL. Don't forget, we will do this again, Faller style there. So we'll look at the AFC players, one per team, most negatively affected by what's happened in the offseason. We'll do that again for the NFC. So that'll be our start to next week, Monday and Tuesday show. I also have to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? It's really hard. There are 9 delicious flavors plus special limited time flavors that you can check out. If you don't know the flavors of Built Bar, you're missing out. I mean, just look at these. Coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted, caramel. There's something for everyone. I like all the flavors. I'd mentioned how much I like peanut butter brownie. I love it because, again, I like that chocolate peanut butter combination. But I'll tell you what, I also like raspberry, that little fruit flavor as well with my 100% chocolate that all the Built Bars are covered in. So you can't find a better protein bar that tastes this well and tastes like a dessert. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box. That's what I would recommend to do. I love having the mix box. So I can get to 2 each of all of the 9 flavors. So 18 bars there. Good variety for you. Whether you're using your Built Bar for some power and energy before you get on the go as breakfast, if you're looking at a midday snack, if you're looking for a light dinner or a pre-workout kind of deal, Built Bar is going to get you through whatever you need. And Built Bars are delicious, but they're also healthy for you. Just think about the protein benefits here. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Some go up to 18 grams of protein, only still 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Check those classic boxes out there in your mixed box. Order today and get that raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, or whatever you like now. And it's Mother's Day, so this is a great gift for Mother's Day as well, because most moms I know love Built Bar, including my own. Send her box and you're sure to be her favorite, at least for a while, until you get her the next box of Built Bars. Now, it's easy to save on Built Bar. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to close the show and the week, looking at the most positively impacted offensive players in half of the NFC South and all of the NFC West. All right, let's pick up where we left off here. So we got through Atlanta and Carolina, looking at the good situations for Matt Ryan, maybe Dan Arnold being a sleeper with Sam Darnold. Let's look at the Saints. This was actually a pretty good offseason for Tre'Quan Smith. We've been waiting for him to do something here. I mean, we thought Michael Thomas, the attention he gets, Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, that there's going to be something there to see him produce. But they actually held off. They do have a Jaquan Johnson. They also used a late-round pick on a receiver this year. But Tre'Quan Smith is really the guy that you would say is the number two wide receiver on this team. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. You still have Marcus Callaway, you have Deontay Harris, some other guys that they like. You also have one guy that you should watch at tight end, and Adam Trautman. So someone's got to step up as that third target in the pass game. Behind Thomas, it's also a changing quarterback situation between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, so maybe a little bit better ability to stretch the field to Tre'Quan, so he can do that. Also, maybe shake up who has better chemistry with either of these quarterbacks, so we watch that in this battle between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill developing all throughout the offseason deep into training camp. But Tre'Quan and Trautman, again, they're going to battle. We know Michael Thomas again. He's going to dominate targets as the go-to guy, wherever the quarterback is. Alvin Kamara is going to be a massive factor in the passing game, catching around 75 to 85 balls. So, again, this is more a complimentary player. We're looking for something that we can extract here. We did get it a couple years ago with Jared Cook at tight end. So, Smith and Trautman, we'll see how that develops, and really kind of depends on how it goes with Winston and Hill here for the Saints. The guy that is up for the Buccaneers, it's Tom Brady. And I don't know how much more he can go up, but now just think about this. He's going to have everybody intact here. So Antonio Brown comes back. He was only with Brady for half a season last year. You have Chris Godwin fully healthy. Mike Evans fully healthy. Tyler Johnson in year two. You got Scotty Miller back in the mix. You use a draft pick on Jalen Darden, so you have another playmaker back there. You have Rob Gronkowski back. You have O.J. Howard. You have Cameron Brate. This team is going all in again. So three deep at tight end, at least four deep for reliability, probably five deep at wide receiver. You also have some good pass-catching backs, Leonard Fournette, and you added Gio Bernard, the former Bengal. So a lot of receptions to go around for Tom Brady. He can just pick and choose who's thrown to. So this could be a big, big year for Tom Brady. I know he's already massively productive there first year in Tampa, but I think this is could be pushing one of his record-type years there that we've seen in New England with the big, big numbers. So let's watch for Tom Brady. But everyone comes back. Everyone helps Tom Brady. This offensive line's still looking good. All the weapons there. Tom Brady, boom, boom, boom. Big offseason to keep up his numbers and then some for Tampa. Let's go to Los Angeles Rams. I think you have to say that Cam Akers liked the way this offseason went here. Darrell Henderson, still you're injured, banged up, a second-rate backup. You don't have Malcolm Brown anymore. He's gone, so he's out of the mix, and no fighting for touches with him. Your next guy, potentially, is your seventh-round pick, Jake Funk, the running back from Maryland. So trying to kind of try hard, work hard type running back with some burst, can do some things in the passing game as well as run hard. But again, he's going to be more developmental guy late and maybe a special teams kind of versatile player. So Cam Akers should live up to being the workhorse he was down the stretch. Last year, when Akers emerged as a RB1 that we expected he was, very talented from Florida State, finally got the offensive support he needed there, and touches and commitment from Sean McVay. So that's going to carry over. Cam Akers, good offseason to keep up his main role with the Rams. Let's turn to the Arizona Cardinals here. They have Chase Edmonds stepping into a good situation here with James Conner, the only addition here. They didn't go after running back in the draft really hard. They have some other guys like Eno Benjamin and Jonathan Ward, some guys that were holding over. But, again, Chase Edmonds in a good spot. They really like Edmonds. I do see Connor maybe having a role here, but Edmonds is in this offense. He's been in there for a while with Cliff Kingsbury, so he has the experience. Connor's a newcomer. He's got to learn the playbook, kind of just see what his chemistry is like with Kyler Murray. We already know Edmonds was relevant a little bit as a half-point PPR flex there with his role, so it could be expanded for sure. He easily made Kenny Drake expendable. They didn't need to bring him back, so quick pivots and a very fickle nature of a Cliff Kingsbury with his backs. I mean, we started back with Kenny and Drake, and then the pivot to Edmonds. We started with David Johnson and this whole mess. So it's always a bit of a transition here for the backfield of the Cardinals so far in the Cliff Kingsbury era. But Chase Edmonds stepping into a good spot with potentially regular touches here for the Arizona Cardinals in 2021. I have two guys that I'm spotlighting for the 49ers. That's Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, I will say. Well, first of all, they should have a healthy quarterback in there, whether Jimmy Garoppolo or the young upside of Trey Lance. Guys that can get the ball in their hands and allow them to make big plays after catch. You also assume George Kittle right now is going to be healthy. So Ayuk and Samuel battle different types of injuries there, but they play off each other well. So both of the presences can help the other produce here as a clear-cut one and two receivers. No more Kendrick Bourne. Shake up at receiver all around, no more Trent Taylor. So these guys are going to be the main man there playing off Kittle. So it's going to be a three-receiver offense for the most part, and they can dominate. You don't need much more when Ayuk and Samuel and Kittle are going off together. So if they're all playing off each other, they're all healthy. There's going to be a lot of catches to go around here, whether it's Garoppolo or Lance thrown there, as long as it's not a weaker quarterback. Now it's Nate Sudfeld as your next option with C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins gone. So however you look at it, it's going to be better for the receivers of the 49ers, including Kittle. But Ayuk builds on a big year two there, and I think you look at Debo Samuel building to a big year three here. So I really like both these receivers a lot. I think they're interchangeable in some ways. They can both make a lot of big plays and things happen after the catch. They're going to be put in a lot of great positions to succeed here, playing off that running game, whoever's a quarterback there for Kyle Shanahan. Finally, let's look at the Seattle Seahawks and their positive influenced player. That's definitely Chris Carson at running back. They've talked about taking a running back at some point in the draft. They're holding the fort here with what they had last year. They did lose Carlos Hyde, by the way. Rashad Penny is a hard guy to trust. They didn't pick up his option. The health is concerned there. We know that. We do have some options behind him. DJ Dallas, Travis Homer are still around there behind Chris Carson. But if Chris Carson can stay healthy, I think he's going to get the key part of the touches here. They're not all that sold on Penny to be that reliable backup the way that Hyde was when Penny was not available last year. So, yeah, Chris Carson, a good spot to potentially rebound here. Hopefully, again, staying healthy. Durability has always been the concern with Chris Carson, but RB1 potential given the way the situation is shaping up for the Seahawks' new-look offense with Russell Wilson as they move away from Brian Schottenheimer at offensive coordinator. All right, so there you have it. There's now a look at the NFC players that are rising based on the developments with their team of the offseason, who came, who went, who was there in the coaching staff. So all kinds of good stuff to break down here. You have to look at Lockdown Fantasy Football from different angles here. That's what we do on the shows, that we're going to consider all the things that are on the table here before we finally figure out who we're going to draft and look in to make our teams winners here in the fall. So advanced scouting always helps, and we wanted to analyze all those situations for you. So we'll do the same looking at the fallers there for each AFC team as well as for each NFC team. So we'll do that. That'll be a good start to next week there on Monday and Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening this week on Locked On Fantasy Football. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend. See you Monday with a continued look at the offseason fallout here for 2021.